Vayhi achrei mos Moshe eved Adonai, vayomer Adonai el Yehoshua binun, mesharis Moshe lemor. So begins Sefer Yehoshua, the first text, the first book that appears after Sefer Devarim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Yehoshua binun in the aftermath of the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. Sefer Yehoshua, as a volume, the Gemara tells us, was written by Yehoshua himself. The Gemara in Baba Basra and Daf Tes Vav 15a tells us that Yehoshua himself wrote the book. And the book itself deals mainly with three areas. The entry of Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, into the land itself. The capture and the taking of the land through the different wars and miracles by the Jewish people, and the removal of the other nations. And the last piece, essentially, is the hisnachalus, the splitting up of the land, the parting of the Yerusha, of the inheritance of the land, to the different tribes, describing the different border zones of where the Jewish people are to be. And in relation to that, in the end, Yehoshua's parting words, his tzavah, his command to the Jewish people, just prior to his passing. We, as a group, will study Yehoshua and our other Sfarim in the following manner. We're going to deal with all of the basic text, the basic understanding of the stories and of the nevuos, or the prophecies in the text itself, and deal with some of the commentaries who will illuminate and enhance our study of the text. And we will work one chapter a day throughout the set of Nevi'im and Kesuvim, with the intent of finishing at some point in 2 years. As we begin the study of the Sefer Yehoshua, one has to understand that every book essentially has a theme, has a purpose, has a focus, has certain messages that it wants to get across, and is written in a way through, of course, through the prophecy, through Nevuah, in a way that we can take it home and teach it to ourselves and learn it and understand it and gain tremendous amounts as they relate to our own lives. Sefer Yehoshua is crucial in the sense that it's the first time that Klal Yisrael, as a people, exist in their own domain, in their own land, in their own world. They're no longer in Egypt. They will no longer be benefiting from the man. That they are a nation in its land, in the throes of battle, in the hope and the intent and the focus of capturing and settling our holy land, the land of Eretz Yisrael. The story includes the personality of Yehoshua himself as a quality of a leader, as a prophet, as a warrior. Of course, it deals with many, many wars, many enemies, incredible miracles, some mishaps, some mistakes, some errors in judgment, some averos, per se, by certain individuals. The role of different parties in the course of the wars, different tribes. The discussion about unrealized expectations, the reality of how much in fact is captured, how much is left uncaptured and untaken, how that affects the future. It's very important to understand that this volume, Sefer Yehoshua, is setting up the rest of Nevi'im and Ksuvim. As we leave the Torah and move into the next chapter, quote-unquote, the next section of Tanakh, we are in a new place. And Yehoshua opens that door, and it begins it for us, so that we now have to evaluate it for what it now sets up and what it sets out for us. So let's begin. Yehoshua Perek Aleph. Let's understand the scene. Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu, the vaunted incredible leader of the Jewish people, has just passed away. He's no longer leading the Jewish people. His personality and his impact will be felt for all time, of course, Torah Moshe. But nonetheless, this incredible, overwhelming personality, an individual, saint, tzaddik, prophet, the greatest of the great, is no longer there. And now the Jewish people are set to go forward with a new leader. And imagine what that must be like for both the people and for the leader himself in such a new role. Moshe has brought them to the brink of Eretz Yisrael, to the Yarden, to the Jordan River. They're in Arvos Moav. They are in the period of mourning the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. And now Yehoshua is really in charge. Although we know from the Torah that Yehoshua was commanded to lead the Jewish people and that he was set to be the next leader after Moshe Rabbeinu, until such a thing happens, until such a moment arrives, it's almost unreal. Even for a person and a personality such as Yehoshua, until it actually comes upon him and exists, and it is. So Yehoshua is now in charge. So what does he do first? What should he do first? Where should he first move? What action should he first take? And the way the Navi opens up is most telling and most important. Although we'll see as we begin later on in the discussion today, as well in the discussion of Perek Bet, that some of the commentaries describe the order and the sequence of our Perek in a different way. But let's take it for the way it's written. Pasuk Aleph, Vayachri Mos Moshe ve'Adonai, the servant of God is gone, passed away. And what happens next? Vayomer Adonai Yeshua bin Nun Mesareth Moshe Limur. God turns to Yehoshua, the servant of Moshe, and he speaks. And our chapter is essentially broken down into three parts. God's monologue, God's commandment, God speaking to Yehoshua, followed by Yehoshua's command to the nation to prepare for the path, for the trip, for the journey. And then part three is a discussion, a back and forth between Yehoshua and the 2.5 tribes, Reuben, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menasheh, half of the tribe of Menasheh, with respect to their role in the Jewish people. And as we go through, we'll discuss the basic text, but also understand what it is that Yehoshua is trying to establish here. Fascinating, I could say from a political standpoint, but nonetheless a fascinating insight into where Yehoshua is going at the outset of the book, at the outset of his leadership of the Jewish people. So Moshe Rabbeinu has gone, but nonetheless now Yehoshua, his most dear servant and student, is taking up the reins of Klal Yisrael. Rashi keys in on the first word, Vayihi Achari Mos Moshe, and so it was after the death of Moshe. Mechubar al Seder HaTorah, this is connected to the Torah. The Torah ends with the death of Moshe, and this begins immediately in that aftermath. There's no separation, there's no break. It's connected, it's related, it's attached to the Torah. And God speaks and he says as follows. Yehoshua, let's understand what's going to happen here. You have certain responsibilities, you have certain obligations as the leader. The most crucial, of course, is your ultimate task. What are you tasked to do? What am I asking of you, Yehoshua, to accomplish? And that is simply to move the nation from its current location into the land, capturing the land, settling the land. Certainly not a minor act. Certainly not something small. But it's the outset. It's the key element to the entirety of the story in the aftermath of the death of Moshe. Klal Yisrael reaching and realizing its place. Yehoshua's task is set out very quickly in Pasuk Beis. Moshe Avdi Meis, God says, my servant is gone. Ve'ata, and now, Kum avur es hayarden hazeh. Get up and go. Cross the river. Ata v'chol ha'am hazeh el ha'aretz asher anochi nosein lohem livnei Yisrael. Get up and cross the river, you and all of the nation that is with you. Go to the land that I am giving to you, to them, to Bnei Yisrael. God moves Yehoshua. Kum, rise up. Zeruz, be excited. Get yourself ready. Cross the river. It's there, but cross the river. You and everybody there with you. Understand, says a beautiful parish, the Das Sofrim, is a wonderful work from Rav Chaim Dover Binovich. We're going to see a lot of very, very beautiful set of works. We'll talk more about him as a person another time. Chola amazeh ha'omeid itcha. Kulam ru'uyim likanes la'aretz. You and the entirety of the nation that's with you, that stands with you, all of them are worthy to go in. No one remains from all that happened before. You and them, you are all worthy to enter into the land. The land that I'm going to give you. And albeit they're going to fight many, many great battles, and they're going to be incredible miracles and wars, and unfortunately some of Klal Yisrael is going to be lost in the course of those wars. Nonetheless, the language that Kadosh Baruch Hu uses, God uses, is that I'm going to give you. Asher anochi nosein lohem. That which is going to be given. But God continues. Koma koma asher tidroch kafrag lechem bo lachem nisativ. Kasher dibarti al Moshe. All the places that you'll go, all the places that your feet will take you, those all those places are given to you. They're given to you. Nitativ, the same word. Kasher dibarti al Moshe. Just like I spoke to Moshe. No chidush, no fancy new stuff, but a monumental promise, very important thing, and a very key Rashi that appears right here. Kol makom asher tidroch kafrag lechem. All the places that your feet will go, Rashi says as follows. What does that mean? We already know that they're going to capture the land. We already know what the borders are going to be. So what does it mean, all the places that your feet will go? Rashi explains. Mishetich b'shu es ha'aretz, koma shetich b'shu michutz la'aretz, yeh kadosh v'yeh shalachem. From the moment at which you finish capturing the land, settling that piece of land, anything that you will capture beyond the scope of the boundaries of the land will be deemed holy and will be yours. Very key requirement. It has to be after the completion of the capture, the taking of the land. And at that point, anything beyond that scope, additional land, will become part of Klal Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving them more than just what the doctor, quote unquote, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had ordered to the time. Pasuk Dalet simply details the borders and the boundaries of the land, north, south, east, and west. And in Pasuk Hey, God moves and now discusses a second very key aspect to this story. He guarantees for Yehoshua his own presence with Yehoshua throughout his life. No wavering, no diminishing of power. God will be with him at all times. No one will stand up to him. No one will get in his way. No one will complain. No difficulties in that way for Yehoshua. Lo yisyatzev ish lefanecha kol yimei chayecha. Nobody will stand up to you, will stand up before you all of the days of your life, even after the wars are finished. Kesher hayisi ei Moshe hayeimach. God says to Yeshua, I will be with you in the same way that I was with Moshe. Incredibly important words for Yehoshua. Here he is, he's a new leader in Klal Yisrael. He's a great tzaddik. He's a massive Talmud Chacham. He's going to be an incredible leader and charismatic warrior for Klal Yisrael. But yet he realizes that he's just taken over from Moshe Rabbeinu. Lo kam ke Moshe. There's nobody else like Moshe Rabbeinu. So Kadosh Baruch Hu understands the person, understands the situation, and he says to him, Yehoshua, calm yourself. Fear not. I will never leave you. I will never allow any sort of a weakness and diminishment of our relationship. I am with you in the same way that I was with your teacher, that I was with Moshe. Imagine any regular person having that told to them. What a relief. What a boost. I'm with you. Always. So Yeshua is calmed, he's comforted, he's ready to go. He's always going to be with him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always there. Pasuk Vav begins with the text that we'll hear four times in the course of our perek. Chazak ve'ematz. Be strong. Be confident. Ketat tanchila sa'amazeh sa'aretz asher nisbati labosam laseis lohem. Be confident because you are going to be the one. You are going to be the one to give out the inheritance to all of the people that I had promised to their fathers before them. Chazak v'ematz. Four times in 10 psukim, we're going to hear that terminology. And in the course of our studies of Sefer Yehoshua and other Svarim, of course, We're going to key in on certain language that appears over and over again. It's a concept called a mila mancha. It's a word or a phrase, set of words that appear over and over and over again in the course of the same chapter, a small section of psukim, really very much tell the tale of that. Chazak v'amatz very much do that. Those two words, they may sound repetitive, but they're not exactly the same. The different commentaries offer different meanings and different combinations of meaning to those two words, but they don't mean the same thing. And essentially what those two words mean, they both deal with strength and koach and power. But essentially they're about the confidence. Be strong, be secure, be confident. Be assured with respect to your task, with respect to your obligations, with respect to the fulfillment of the things that you need, that you will be successful. Of course, there are certain rules to guarantee that success, but be confident. So here's the first one, Chazak v'ematz. Rashi explains, Chazak v'ematz, be strong, b'derech eretz, b'derech eretz. Later on, Rashi will say, Chazak v'ematz, Yoshua, be strong, with respect to Torah. And the third time, Chazak v'ematz, Rashi will explain, be strong with respect, and be confident with respect to the war. Leda Sofer, who we mentioned earlier, has a slightly different approach. Here he says Chazak v'ematz deals with a gufani ruchani relationship. Be strong physically, chazak gufani, with respect to the physical being. And ematz, also be strong, but it's a spiritual strength as opposed to a physical strength. So on two planes, both physical and spiritual, God commands and God speaks to Yeshua with respect to his own inner strength and inner confidence. Be strong, be confident, Yeshua, you will be the one to accomplish this. You will be the one to grant and to inherit the land to the Jewish people. Pasuk Zayin begins with the same words, but here it's slightly different. Rak chazak ve'ematz me'od, be very careful, Rashi here said about the Torah. Lishmor lasos kechol haTorah asher tzivcha Moshe avdi. Be strong with the Torah. Be focused on the Torah. Lishmor lasos. Be careful, be wary, be mindful, be watchful to fulfill all the mitzvos. Learn how to fulfill all the Torah that Moshe had taught you, that I taught to him. Don't waver, don't stray, right or left, adding, subtracting from the Daraisas, from the Darabanans, so that you will be smart and understanding, have seichel, b'chol asher telech, meaning the requirement and the ability to be successful in this task, God says to Yoshua, and the manner in which you will be successful as a leader in Klal Yisrael will be by virtue of having been smart, having focused, having learned, having understood the Torah. By following the Torah, learning the Torah, keeping to the Torah, you will be successful, God says. Look in Pasuk Ches. God continues, quoting one of the most famous things that we see in all the shtenders around the world. Lo yamur seif ha-Torah hazeh mipicha. The Torah should not diminish, should not leave in any way your mouth. V'hagisa bo yomam v'alayla. You should be involved with it day and night. L'man tishmar lasos kichol ha-kasuv bo ki oz tatzliach es terechecha v'oz tatzkil. God says to Yeshua, be involved, be focused, be connected to the Torah all the day and all the night, so that you can be careful to do all that it says in it. Then you will be successful on your path, and then you will be maskil, taskil. You will be matzliach, the same type of word. We'll get to the differentiation between those two words in a moment. What does the Kadosh Baruch Hu say to Yeshua? He says, Yeshua, I realize you're a very busy man. You have a tremendous, massive task ahead of you. But at the same time, the way in which you're successful with it is if you're always involved and you're always osik b'Torah. If you're mindful of the Torah, if you're thinking about the Torah, the Das Sofer writes, if you're involved in the section of the Torah that directly to the relate to the situations in your life, and you connect it to the Torah, to your situation, to the world itself, to the moment, then you will be matzliach. Then you will be successful. The Malbim has a very beautiful distinction between the terms tetzliach and tetzkil. The Malbim writes that to be matzliach is by virtue of having learned Torah, the person's mazel changes. By virtue of simply being involved in the study of Torah, being focused on Torah study, following the Torah and the mitzvos, then the person's, can't say their fate, but the person's results will improve. Not because they're any smarter per se, or that they'll figure anything out per se on their own, but rather by virtue of having new mazel. Taskil is different. Taskil is based on koach haseicha, the power of the intellect. By virtue of having studied and having learned, by having understood what it is that the Torah is trying to teach, the person will be successful by virtue of the fact that they're able to now choose right from wrong, that they're able to distinguish between what they should do and what they shouldn't do, and it's informed by the level of their knowledge. Halo tzivisicha chazak v'amatz. God says in Pasuk Tes, did I not command you to be confident, to be strong? Al ta'arot v'altechas. Here Rashi said, chazak v'amatz b'milchama. Don't be afraid with respect to war. Be confident, be strong. Don't minimize yourself. Don't diminish yourself. Don't feel weak. Because God is with you in all the places that you go. Therein lies section one of the Perek, where God speaks to Yeshua, gives him strength, gives him confidence, gives him focus, gives him his task. Beginning in Pasuk Yud, and simply for two psukim, we have a slight shift now. Yeshua goes, and he commands the Shotrei Ha'am, this group of individuals who were established above the masses, essentially, we maybe want to call troop leaders, tribal leaders, to speak to the people. Ivru bekerav ha'machan evitzavu esa'am limor. Haya hachinu lachem tzeda. Kibo'u tzlosis yomim atzem over mesayardin azeh level loresis esara etzasher al naloyechem nosein lachem lirishda. Go amongst the people into the nation, into the camp, and command the people to prepare for themselves tzeda. Tzeda, generally speaking, is translated as food. Rashi adds, it's not just food, but rather it's to prepare armament, to be militarily prepared to go to battle. For in 3 days, we're crossing the Jordan to go in and to inherit the land that God has given us to inherit. So Yeshua now turns to the people. There's a very key point here, which we'll get to in a moment with respect to the Shotrei Ha'am. But Yeshua commands the people. It's his first speech to the people, his first tzivui commandment to the people, go and tell the people that it's now time to prepare ourselves, to steel ourselves for the coming action, which is to cross the Yarden. The parak then ends with the third section where Yeshua is involved in a conversation, a back and forth, his second command to the 2.5 tribes. If you remember back in the Torah, Shevet Reuven, Shevet Gad, and half of Shevet Menasheh desire to stay on the western side of the Yarden, modern-day Jordan, and to settle there. So now Yeshua turns to them, and he says as follows. Remember the matter in which Moshe commanded you. God has granted you this piece of land. This land meaning the land on the western side of the Jordan. But he commanded you further. Your women, your children, your cattle will remain on this side of the river. And the rest of you will go armed before your brothers, the rest of Klal Yisrael. Who will go? Those that can be soldiers, those that can be leaders in the army of the Jewish people, and you will help them capture the rest of the land. So really, in reality, those who remained behind were the children, the women, the cattle, and those who couldn't fight. It could be Zakenim, whoever. Those who simply were not of age or a proper physical strength to be of service, to help, remained. To what end, to what point, how far must they go? Pasuk Tesva 15. Ara sheyaniach ana la'acheichem kachem, v'yashu gam heima es ha'aretz asher na lo'echem nosein lohem. until the point where God has allowed the rest of the people to rest and to settle, just like you and your people will settle on this side, that they have gotten their peace and they've settled in the land itself. And then, v'shavtem le'eretz Yerushalayim, v'yirishtem osah shenasan lachem Moshe eved Adonai be'eva hayarden mizrach hashamash. Then you can go back to your land and you can settle the land that Moshe gave you on this side of the river. Interestingly enough, Yeshua in his command to them invokes the name of Moshe numerous times to key in on the fact that it was Moshe Rabbeinu who made this promise to them, that they had promised it to Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader of Klal Yisrael at the time, to harp a little bit on the name of Moshe Rabbeinu, to invoke the power of the personality, the power of the holiness of such a person who allowed them to do this under certain conditions. Now it's true, initially, in the initial agreement, the tribes agreed to simply fight the battles, and not necessarily to be there for the period of the apportionment and the settling. But Yeshua has now essentially reestablished the promise or the Shavua, the vow, to include a second stage, not just fighting the battle, but actually staying and remaining until the land is ultimately settled, which approximates to 14 years. And they respond, Vayanu es Yehoshua le'mor, Pasuk Tazayin, Kol ashe tzivisanu na'aseh, ve'kol ashe tishlachenu ne'lech. They respond initially with two parts. First, all that you have commanded us, we will do. Ve'kol ashe tishlachenu ne'lech. And all the places that you will send us, we will go. We will not waver, we will not ask questions, we will simply do as commanded. And now the people give the same to Yehoshua that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. Just like God had said to Yehoshua, just like I was with Moshe, I'll be with you. Now in Yud Zayin, they say to Yehoshua the same thing. Just as we listen to Moshe, so too we will listen to you. One condition. But it must be that you remain at the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. You must fulfill the role in the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu fulfilled the role. And as long as you are up there and you are in that way and you follow in the footsteps of Moshe Rabbeinu, we're with you. And in Yud Ches, the last pasuk, Kol isha sheyamre es picha, V'lo yishmas divarecha l'chol ashe tetzavenu, yumas, rak chazak ve'emats. So it's an interesting play. The people themselves used the terminology that God had used with Yehoshua, chazak ve'emats. It's sort of a very interesting sort of situation. You have Yehoshua in the middle, you have the people on one side, you have God on the other side, and they're using the same terminology in relationship to their conversations with Yehoshua in literally the same day. And they say to him, anybody who violates that which you say, Moreid bimalchus, rebellion against your monarchy, against your leadership or your rulership, and does not listen to you, you must. Punishable by death. So what you have now is the acceptance of the tribes, the 2.5 tribes, to keep their promise, to keep their end of the bargain, with the requirement that Yeshua keep his role. And at the other end, you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeping his promise to Yeshua, as long as Yeshua keeps his role. But let's look at one very interesting detail here. As I mentioned at the outset, part of what goes on in the early prakim of Yeshua is that Yeshua is setting in motion what Klal Yisrael will look like for many, many generations. And he's concerned about the manner in which Klal Yisrael will settle once it is that they actually settle. If part of his mandate is to capture the land and to settle the land, then he has to prepare the people so that when they do in fact settle the land, they're ready to live on the land and to be successful on the land. And what that means is that Yeshua has to contemplate and consider, perhaps, the leadership role in the period of time after he's no longer there. What happens after Yehoshua is gone? I mean, he's contemplating the future. And I think it comes out very clearly here with one very small detail. but a very important detail. When Yehoshua commands the Shotrei Ha'am, that's an innovation. The Da'at Sofrim says as follows, very keyed in to this point. Gam b'yemei Moshe hayu Shotrim. In the days of Moshe, there were Shotrim as well. You want to call them police? I would rather call them officers. Officers of the court, officers of the presidency, officers of the leadership. The Da'at Sofrim says, in Moshe's time, we had those people. Nonetheless, the Cholzos lo nizka shel Moshe yishtamish behem. Moshe never used them. The text never describes Moshe invoking the use of officership with people to disseminate a message to the people. It never happened. It seems that Moshe, when he taught in groups, of course, we know. But when he wanted to get a message out to the entirety of the population, it's never known to us or made known to us that Moshe uses quote-unquote intermediaries, people in his charge to disseminate that message. Yet at this point here, Yehoshua does. So that Sofrim finishes with his statement. He says, "V'shazo nidrasha kapdanut yoter gedola." In this instance and situation, it required more influence, it required more emphasis per se, so that Yehoshua then does use them, and that simply stating it himself to the entirety of the nation wouldn't suffice, but here he needed them to go into the nation. I think one can also take insight that Yehoshua in the parak here is preparing two things. He's preparing a little bit of leadership amongst the people, and he's also preparing his armed force for battle. Those are key elements to any political regime. Any person who's going to lead a charge in a nation amongst the people, they have to make sure that the dissemination of the message and that the people passing the message along to the population are in place and that they're getting the message across clearly and directly. That it can't simply be one person at the top, but there has to be buy-in and there has to be dissemination amongst the masses. And so you need a very committed army. And what Yehoshua does here is very different than what Moshe Rabbeinu does. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the entirety of the nation, it seems, all the time, other than when he's teaching them directly in the course of the Torah. Yehoshua immediately, this is immediately upon him taking the role of leadership, seems to behave very differently. He establishes these Shotrim. He gives them the charge in his name to go into the camp. You can imagine these people walking through the streets, going door to door, saying, "Yehoshua told us to tell you the following thing. Prepare food. We're going in 3 days." They're passing the message to the people. It's very different. It's sort of decentralized in a certain way. The message does come from on high, but it's disseminated in a very different way. At the same time, the next thing Yehoshua does is Yehoshua focuses on his armed forces. He makes sure that the people who have committed to him, who have committed to Klal Yisrael, have committed to Moshe, commit to him as well to fulfill their promise, to fulfill their obligation. So that's significant in two ways, really. It's significant in the way that Yehoshua now has a very committed group as chalutzim, as leaders, right? As foot soldiers, as lead soldiers in his army. And it says to the rest of the Klal Yisrael that they're still united, that they're still connected, and that Yehoshua can invoke the memory of Moshe and the commandments of Moshe, and they're going to be followed. And the people need to see that. And the people need to hear that. The tribes are with them, they're still going with them, and that Yehoshua is able to direct them, that they're following his lead. So Yehoshua is establishing a model of leadership that differs in some manner than Moshe Rabbeinu. Let's end today with one last interesting point, and we'll pick up with this at the beginning of Perek Beis. When exactly does all of this happen? We'll leave it with a question. When exactly is the tzivui from God, the commandment from God at the beginning of the story here? When exactly does Yehoshua speak to the 2.5 tribes? What date, per se, is it that Yehoshua commands the nation that it's time to go? When exactly is all of this happening? It's very significant. Because the way the parak reads is you have God speaking to Yehoshua commanding the people, And then Yahushua commanding the 2.5 tribes, which makes sense. Yahushua gets his charge, and then the following of getting his charge, he goes and speaks to the people. It's also reminiscent of many other Sfarim, the other books that begin with the prophecy, would begin with the conversation of God with the individual. However, what we're going to see tomorrow, a very beautiful Malbim, and a very fascinating Rashi that starts off the second Perek, and deals with the timing of these events.